This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network. When we read about the lives of the saints, I'm always moved by so many of the stories of miraculous events that occurred during their lives and the blessings that they received. Yet many of us may have experienced strange or beautiful happenings ourselves within our lives, and most often I believe that most of us accept them with perhaps little thought to the actual blessings we may have received. For some, what we might consider just ordinary people, I'm sure that God in His infinite wisdom has given us special graces. Perhaps the real problem, if it could be described as such, is just that we too often don't accept these happenings as something special. We just accept them. Well, today I'd like to tell you a few stories of such possible happenings to ordinary people. Maybe it would be well to start off with the story of a physician living in the south part of the state of Florida. He's now a respected cardiologist, and some of his medical skills have bordered on the, well, it seems the miraculous. But it wasn't always that simple. His conversion of faith was born in tragedy. Early in his career, his son had been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of leukemia, and the young doctor called upon all his skills and medical training to save the life of his young son. But despite all of his training and supposed expertise, the disease was too far advanced and too aggressive, and he lost his son. And there, in that split-second feeling of frustration and undoubtedly anger as he stood by the bedside and saw the life of his son slip away, there was that split-second choice he had to make. Would he become angry at God and reject Him, or would he elect to become a servant of God and praise Him for giving him the gift of the son he had just lost, the son that had made him happy for just a small period of time? Well, there is a moment when a choice has to be made, and a moment when one allows God's grace to enter their heart. And it was in such a moment that our doctor turned to God, and instead of running away from Him and blaming Him, it became a life-changing moment. Oh, there were many stories to follow that would emerge from his skill as a physician and later a cardiologist, some of which were not only dramatic, but certainly seemed to verge on the miraculous, including saving suicides, averting them, that he had prevented by his wise counsel and encouragement for his patients to put their trust in God. And while the stories were many and dramatic, perhaps one of the most impressive was that of a patient named Jeff. The date was October of 2006, when Jeff, a mechanic in his early 50s, checked himself into the ER of the hospital with severe chest pains and then collapsed from a massive heart attack. Now, our doctor happened to be at the hospital, and since he was now a cardiologist, was immediately summoned to assist the man whose life was hanging by a very fragile thread. The pulse had stopped, and the usual paddles were used to try to restart the heart with no response. The power charge was increased several times so that the jolt was almost enough to make the lifeless body lift off the stretcher. But there was no response. The doctor and several others with the medical team worked feverishly for 40 minutes, refusing to give up even when the man's fingers and toes had started turning black from lack of oxygen. Well, the medical team finally declared him dead at 8:05 a.m., and everyone left the ER room except for our doctor and the nurse whose job was to prepare the remains for the morgue. All the tubes and life support wirings had been removed. The doctor slowly started to leave to make his rounds, and as he was about to push the door open, he had a strange sensation. He would later describe it as a feeling that God was telling him to pray for the man. Well, he paused for a quick moment and then felt that it was just the emotion of the time and started to leave again. But again, he had this powerful feeling that God was speaking to him and telling him not to leave. One can almost visualize his shaking his head and then pushing open the door and heading on his rounds, but at the very last moment, he wasn't able to do that. Instead, he moved back to the man and prayed out loud, "Father, I cry out for this man's soul. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him now from the dead in Jesus' name." Well, can you imagine the expression that must have been on the nurse's face? She looked at him as though he had lost his marbles. With that, the doctor said, "Shock him again." He wanted to give God a chance. And sometimes I believe God wants us in on a partnership to prove that he's paying attention to us and that our prayers do matter. Well, with a wary eye mixed with a great deal of personal frowning, the other medical practitioner sighed heavily and administered the paddles again. But this time, the heart not only started, but it started in perfect rhythm. Well, the nurse screamed as the man started breathing on his own. The man would later have his own story to tell of feeling that he was lost in a dark and dank place that he described as hell. The good doctor asked the man to accept Jesus, and he certainly did just that. I hear so often people mentioning miracles that happened in the past, history, but they are still with us in our time. And unfortunately, when we hear the negative, which we do more often than the positive, well, that's something that's too bad, isn't it? But now I want to tell you the unusual story about a lady. Her name was Yuma Krishman, and she lived with her husband Kumar way back in Singapore around the year 2006. One night in her dreams, she dreamt of this beautiful but humble lady surrounded by a myriad of candles. Well, she was puzzled by the identity of this beautiful lady, but she knew that this lady was not a Hindu goddess. She had heard stories, several of them, about this blessed lady who was the virgin mother of a man named Jesus. But she knew little about her and wondered if perhaps this could be the same lady. Well, time passed, and both Yuma and her husband paid little more than a passing thought about the dream. In fact, as time passed, her husband had a new job which relocated the family to San Diego in the United States in December. Then, several months later, Yuma's lady from her dreams started again. And in these dreams, she saw herself entering a strange church, one that she had never seen before, and as she entered further into the church, she turned to a small room with a statue of a beautiful lady surrounded by red twinkling candles. Well, the next night, the dream was similar, except that in the candlelit room, Yuma saw a large cross fashioned from palm leaves. Well, as you can imagine, these dreams were fascinating her. She wondered if there was some message for her somewhere within what she was seeing. Well, the dreams continued, and on a later night, she dreamed that she was on a boat, and the same lady was there, only this time she was wearing a blue mantle and holding a Bible. The beautiful lady pointed out several verses that gave Yuma a sense of peace, and then the woman disappeared from her dream again. Well, Yuma and her husband tried to understand the messages, and they decided to visit a church. But where would they find one? Well, as if by a random choice, they Googled churches, and the address that appeared on the screen was for St. Mary of Sorrows Church, not too far distant from where they would live. And that's where they would go. They would go there to just look around. They parked their car and walked in, and Yuma seemed to freeze in motion. This appeared to be the very church of her dreams. Or was it her imagination? Well, she looked to the right, and there was another room, so they headed for it. It was a small chapel with red votive lights, with red twinkling flames, before the very same lady of her dreams, with the blue mantle, and Yuma started to cry. But she had this feeling of peace and comfort, and yet, as Hindus, she wondered what she was being called to do. There had to be a meaning to all of this. Well, she and her husband sat in quiet solitude, not knowing what prayers, if any, might be appropriate and what to do. And, well, in their own words, they thanked the lady for bringing them there and for the beautiful dreams. And then they added, "Show us what you want us to do." Well, you know, sometimes when we want an answer and it doesn't come, we give up or do our thing. I think this is what happened to Yuma and Kumar. They asked, and there wasn't a voice to give them an answer, so they returned to their Hindu temple. But her dreams continued, and the beautiful lady was there with her hands outstretched, with a bright light appeared to be shining behind her, and from the expression on her face she appeared to be saying, "Come back to me." Well, Yuma and her husband discussed the new turn of events and thought they should return to St. Mary of Sorrows that very day. And when they arrived, this time there was a prayer group present, and Yuma shared their story with the group, who invited them to stay and join them in worshiping God, which they did. Well, Yuma and Kumar began attending Mass with the group. But now a new problem arose. Yuma began experiencing all kinds of disturbing thoughts, bordering almost on the supernatural. And the only place she felt secure was in the church. She discussed this with the priest, who felt this may be due to some residual feelings of the Hinduism they had practiced. So they disposed of everything related to their former Hinduism and were enrolled in a special and fast-track RCIA program, and within a few months were received into the faith. The parish priest explained the events very simply when he said that God indeed works in mysterious ways. And Yuma and Kumar answered very simply that they felt blessed. A simple story, but as the priest said, God does work in mysterious ways. And perhaps no more mysterious than the events of the Loreto Chapel in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and its miraculous staircase. Oh, I've told the story before, but I think it bears repeating. The Loreto Chapel was built by an order of nuns who ran a boarding school for girls near the latter part of the 1800s. There were some problems with the architectural design the problems were not apparent until the chapel was completed. And the main difficulty was access to the choir loft. The chapel was not deep enough for a traditional staircase of that period to reach the choir loft without using too much of the space. And space, well, it was space they couldn't spare. Instead, they had to rely on a ladder, which certainly was not a viable choice. Santa Fe was still in its growing stage, but there were many qualified tradespeople and carpenters available, and the good sister certainly must have contacted every one of them at one time or another without reaching a satisfactory solution, and the latter was just out of the question. Undignified for the sisters and not practical. Well, when the nuns have a problem and there seems to be no solution, what do? That's right. They pray. They would pray a novena for the answer to their problem. And the sisters completed their novena, and on the ninth day, lo and behold, there was an older man, rather scraggly with gray hair, accompanied by his mule, who appeared on the scene. He had with him only the very basics of tools, tools that in our day and time would be laughable. You see, in his meager chest of tools, all that he had was a saw, a hammer, and a square. He told the Mother Superior that he understood the problem she had, and was taken to the chapel, and he nodded and took a look at the choir loft with no stairs, and the sister explained that the traditional stairs would take up too much room away from the chapel and the pews. The man nodded in agreement. He understood all of that. And then the old man just glanced at the choir loft again and the small main floor of the chapel, and it didn't seem to faze him. He nodded and said that he could build a staircase and save space by turning it with winding steps going up. No problem. No problem at all. He told the sisters that he could build exactly what they wanted, and the only thing that he would need would be several tubs that he could use to soak or treat the wood that he would use. Well, the Mother Superior agreed, and the old man, with only his donkey and basic tools, would start the project. It was the 25th of July in 1873. Now remember, the nuns had to use their chapel, and when it came time for prayers or vespers or other uses of the chapel, well, the man would make himself scarce and just go away. But when they were finished, he and his mule would return. It's hard to say exactly how long this process went on, but it is generally believed that it could have been possibly as long as 8 months before the stairway was completed. And when it was finished, it was a masterpiece of construction and a masterpiece of architectural beauty and grace. Well, I'm very fortunate to have visited the Loretto Chapel any number of times on visits to Santa Fe. And whenever I'm there, I always have, somehow I have this feeling that I'm drawn to the chapel to see that beautiful staircase that defies description in its grace and perfection. You see, the man with no practical tools and not even a nail constructed a circular staircase, making two complete revolutions without any supporting pole in the center. Well, this just isn't done on any other staircase. It should have crashed down the first time anyone put any weight on it, but this one, it has stood for more than 125 years. And to make the holy staircase even more unbelievable, the old man used not one nail in the entire construction process. Instead, he used small wooden pegs that he himself made. In a recent article about the staircase, a renowned architect who had just completed another study of the staircase said that the craftsmanship was without a single flaw, and it baffled him how that could be accomplished with only the very basic tools. Well, in addition, the circular staircase is so beautiful that it adds a sense of unearthly beauty to the inside of the chapel. Well, over the years, the chapel has been a major attraction to Santa Fe. Oh, the Order of Nuns have since moved on, but the Loreto Chapel has been maintained and is one of the most popular tourist attractions of the Santa Fe area. And as time passes, more and more strange facts about the miraculous staircase seems to emerge. In the last few years, new information has been discovered about the type of wood that is used in the staircase. Not too long ago, one of the men responsible for the care of the chapel was able to pry out a very small piece of the actual wood that had been used in its construction to determine just what kind of wood was used in the staircase. And the mystery then deepened even more. You see, the wood in the miraculous staircase could not be identified and matched nothing in any description. Plus, the evaluation and study of the wood covered more than 18 months of scientific examination. And this examination indicated that this type of wood, the wood used in the construction of the staircase, was very dense and had to have been grown in a destination that was very cold, like northern Alaska. And remember, at this time in history, there were no trains from Alaska to the United States, and there was no name for this kind of wood. Well, the man in question named this species of wood as Loreto spruce after the chapel. But the mystery remains. Where did the wood come from? Oh, yes, one other fact about the mysterious and miraculous staircase. When the staircase was finished, the old man and his donkey disappeared. He didn't even stay around to get paid. Some people say that the carpenter was Saint Joseph answering the novena, while others just shrug. We sometimes forget that with God and prayers, anything is possible. And maybe that's a good message for us, too. This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network.